We found that most people are talking dirty and don't realize that on their phone, because that tends to be a really germy object because nobody ever cleans it.
Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Well, you just heard a snippet from today's guest, Dr. Chuck Gerba, a world-renowned microbiologist who has a thing or two to say about cross-contamination. As a patient safety advocate, I am always concerned about the spread of bacteria and am continually conscious of all of the vectors that might transmit germs. Germs that can bring you down, make you sick, cause a hospital stay, which we know we'd like to avoid at all costs. And those costs are not only to our health, but to our time and to our wallet. You know, as I watch the entire planet glued to their phones, I realized that no one cleans their phones. I have seen phones on public checkout counters, on bus seats, on airplane tray tables, on desks, car seats, people talking on their phones while sitting on the toilet in public restrooms. Need I say more? Can you imagine how filthy and germy? Oh my. Well, you may know that I have spent the last few years studying, researching, and taking classes on how to use essential oils and have developed many products that work for health-related issues such as pain, nausea, sleep issues, anxiety, and so many more. Well, this past spring, I created an amazing all-natural DEET-free bug spray that nearly every golf course on my side of town has sold in their pro shops. Why? Well, because it works. It smells fabulous, but most importantly, it does not contain anything that will kill golfers or you. I also have a very efficient hand sanitizer called Happy Hands, and the newest is my cell phone disinfectant called Dirty Talk. All available at the website zapandzen.com. That is Z-A-P, the letter N, Z-E-N, zapandzen.com. Dirty Talk, it's a spray that includes the essential oils known to fight bacteria, germs, E. coli, MRSA, C. diff, molds, fungus, and a bunch of other nasty goodies that have been found on people's phones. Organic essential oils such as tea tree, tangerine, and cinnamon. The spray smells yummy, and the bottle lasts a long time. No, you don't spray your phone. Just a little spritz on a soft cloth and then gently wipe down your devices, cell phones, iPads, computer keyboards, your mouse, and even your desktop. I mean, think of this. Cell phones are warm. They heat up all by themselves, and they stay warm while in your pocket. All of this heat makes for a perfect breeding ground for germs and bacteria to multiply. So why take chances when keeping your phone clean is such an easy thing to do? Well, at least now it is. Check out Dirty Talk at the website zapandzen.com. That's where you will also find some other related sprays, Happy Hands, hand sanitizer, and Hospital Helper, a spray specifically designed to spray on objects in the air or on your body to keep MRSA at bay. It works too. I've had many people throughout the country who have purchased Hospital Helper and have called and written to me to say how it helped them get rid of MRSA. Just go to zapandzen.com. Alrighty, well, having said all that, I am ready to share my guest and some little-known germy hiding places with you.
Dr.
Dr. Chuck Gerba, the professor in the departments of soil, water, and environmental science at the College of Agriculture and College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. He conducts research on the transmission of pathogens through the environment. He has authored more than 500 articles, including several books on environmental microbiology. And he's been a consultant to the World Health Organization, Centers for Disease Control, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Defense, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, as well as numerous state and local agencies. He has appeared on many TV shows, including Good Morning America, The Today Show, 2020, 48 Hours, and now Speak Up Radio. His work has been quoted almost everywhere. Also known as Dr. Germ, and most importantly, the nation's expert on hygiene, he is here today to take us on a tour of germs in our daily life. Well, welcome, Dr. Gerba.
Thanks a lot.
I'm glad you're here. I've been quoting your statistic on the hospital remote being the germiest object in a hospital room, and now I have the pleasure to speak with you personally. Can you take us through a typical day? What types of germs or bacteria or molds might we meet, and what can we do to keep them at bay?
In your home, you'd be surprised, but the germiest area is actually usually the kitchen in terms of probably germs that could make you ill that you bring in the home all the time. They come in on your raw food products a lot of the times, even your grocery bags. They can come in there. During putting them away and handling them, you contaminate certain objects in the kitchen, particularly the kitchen sink where you wash a lot of things, your sponges, your cleaning cloths. Bacteria like to grow in those, and some of the bacteria like Salmonella, E. coli can grow in your sponges and cleaning cloths. And a lot of times when you think you're cleaning up in the morning, you're actually spreading them all around. The other key area is actually the cutting board. And the average household has about 200 times more fecal bacteria than a toilet seat. You might be surprised, but probably one of the cleanest areas in your household is your bathroom area, because people regularly use disinfectants in that. And so those areas are actually pretty clean, much cleaner. You'd be surprised how clean the bathroom area is compared to the rest of the house. Most people think it's the opposite, though.
Right.
But your car is actually can be pretty germy, too. It's quite interesting. If you're living in Florida, your car acts like a sauna. So you get a lot of bacteria that like to grow in cars there, where if you're in Chicago, it acts more like a refrigerator. So you get a lot of mold in cars in Chicago, which is quite interesting. You can end up with a fairly moldy car, actually, in a cold climate, because they like that cold climate. And the more kids you have in a car, the germier it gets. The germiest spot in a car is actually the dashboard, because of the air intakes on the front of the car, in front of the window, and that all the bacteria land on your dashboard for that. And then, of course, as you might guess, your coffee cup holder in the kid's car seat usually get pretty bad. Is that much of a problem? Probably not in those your home and your car if it's only your own germs most of the time. But if you're moving kids around, like the soccer teams and that in the car, then it might be an issue how germy those areas get. And then when you get to work, usually your desktop is the worst thing there on your phone. We found that most people are talking dirty and don't realize that on their phone, because that tends to be a really germy object, because nobody ever cleans it. Same thing with your desk. Lots of bacteria on there. Most people don't clean their desktop, from what we found, till they start sticking to it, because it's considered private space and it's your responsibility, not the janitor crew in that. And then usually it goes to your computer, and your desktop tend to get pretty bad because, again, nobody's ever cleaning those on a regular basis. When you go to leave, the germiest thing you'll probably touch is the first floor elevator button if you're in a multi-story building, because everybody has to touch that button to get out. So I always wait for somebody else to touch the button for me when I'm leaving, because I know everybody's touching that one button all the time. And as a result, it gets fairly germy. On your way home, you know, if you take mass transit, we found that actually buses and subways get fairly bad, particularly the entrance handrail. Then on your way home, if you stop at the grocery store, it's your shopping cart. The studies have found that children are more likely to get certain types of bacterial infections like salmonella if they ride in a shopping cart. Why? Because people put raw meat products in there, raw vegetables in some cases, and they contaminate the shopping cart. Your reusable grocery bags tend to be fairly bad, too, because it turns out nobody ever washes, though. In our studies and interviewing people, only 3% of the people ever said they washed their reusable grocery bag. And you can get fecal bacteria in these bags from handling raw meat products. Some of the bags we tested from consumers, there were more fecal bacteria in their shopping cart bag than probably their underwear, because they at least wash their underwear once in a while, but apparently never their shopping bags. Now, that seems really like a gauntlet of germs you're going through all the time, but everything is a random chance event. You're really gambling with germs all the time. And the whole odds of maybe practicing a little bit better hygiene is try to keep the odds in your favor and not the germ. So you're not going to get ill every time you go through that kind of a scenario. But without taking some precautions, proper hygiene, good hand washing, sanitizing clean surfaces, your odds are increased that you will eventually pick up a cold or flu or diarrhea from that scenario of events if you run across a germ that could potentially make you ill.
And so from the beginning of our day to the end of the day, we're bombarded with all of these bacteria and potential viruses. I actually read a study once that said that viruses could be responsible for things like obesity and common illnesses, and even that ulcers used to be attributed to stress and lifestyle, but now, what, 95% of ulcers are attributed to bacteria? So is this something we should be really concerned about?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of amazing how we realize that common afflictions we blame on lifestyle are more due to microorganisms like obesity, and certain types of viruses have now been related to obesity. And that. So you're right. Yeah, every time we look, we seem to find more association with microorganisms or common afflictions. And even when you don't feel well on certain days, you always have down days. It may just be a minor microbial infection that you're actually suffering from that. So they play more of a role in your life. You're actually going to be infected with a virus about 10% of your life when you get colds and flus, and more often than you actually might realize.
And I'm interested in what you said about the molds that could be living in cars. And sometimes people just don't feel well, or they have a respiratory problem, and they would never attribute that to the potential mold that's in their car or in their homes or right around them all the time.
Right. Molds particularly like to live in your air vent. I notice it happens to me all the time when I first turn on my air conditioner or heater in the fall and winter. I start sneezing right away, and it's all some of the pollen and molds that have been growing in your vents and probably that you're responding to.
Well, you've made quite a name for yourself by studying public toilets and other places where germs lurk. Can you describe the phenomenon of bacterial and viral aerosols due to toilet flushing, and what should we do to stay safe short of not flushing?
Yeah, one of the things we discovered years ago is that when you flush a toilet, droplets come out of there. We did photographs like you've seen with a sneeze, and you get a toilet sneeze. And one thing I learned was never to keep my toothbrush too close to the toilet, because I was afraid I was going to brush things that were in the toilet in my mouth, because those droplets do settle out all over the bathroom area, on particularly the bottom of the toilet seat and other areas. So you can always keep the lid down when you flush it. But probably a good practice is to use a sanitizer in the toilet bowl that's always being used. That seems to work fairly well. But surprisingly, toilet seats are fairly clean, because people are always concerned about getting rear-end microorganisms, I guess, and they clean that fairly well. The worst thing in a public bathroom turns to be the sink and the taps, because you have to turn the water on before you wash your hands. And one of the cleanest things is the doorknob on the exit, because usually, at least in the United States, about 70% of the people have washed their hands. So the doorknob on the entrance actually has more germs on it than the exit, most people always are fearing the doorknob, but it doesn't turn out to be that germy as you might think.
Should we call somebody out in a public restroom, or say a clerk behind the deli counter, if we see less than acceptable hand washing or glove protocol? And do you do this?
Yes, because in restaurants in particular, they are inspected by the health department, and they should respond fairly quickly to that. And I always do. If I see something that's not really up to par, for particularly restaurants, they must comply. And you can actually complain to the health department if you really feel about that, because they're supposed to have adequate hand washing facilities.
Well, sometimes even in public restrooms, you just see people walking right out and they're not even washing their hands. And sometimes I feel inclined to speak up.
Yeah, really. It varies around the world. You know, in the U.S., well, about 70 to 80% of the people wash their hands. But interestingly enough, only half of them are using soap. And only half of those people only wash long enough. You're supposed to wash your hands for about 15 to 20 seconds to make sure your hands are adequately clean. And you really should be using soap, too, if you want to make sure they're clean. If you don't like washing your hands all the time, hand sanitizers work just as well as soap and water, particularly if you've been out in public or shopping or taking a bus. It's a good time to wash your hands after that, or use a hand sanitizer.
And I'm glad you got to that, because I was going to ask you to get that definitive answer on the antibacterial gels. People always ask me about that. So do they work? And if so, when? Do they get rid of everything?
Yeah, the gels work fairly well, because what kills the organisms is rapid evaporation of the alcohol. And that results in the kill of both viruses and bacteria. But the antibacterial hand gels in that are very effective.
Alcohol dries pretty quickly. Does it need to be wet on your hands for a long period of time?
No, as soon as it evaporates, it's done all the killing.
Okay.
So that's what's nice about 10 10 seconds and it's over. And it is a very easy way it kills organisms. It just sucks all the water out of them is basically how it kills microorganisms. So there's really no chemical residual left either on your hands.
That's interesting. That's good to know. I also get another question quite often about being cognizant of germs and bacteria and washing hands and gels. People always say, well, shouldn't our immune systems be capable of handling day-to-day germs? Aren't we creating a more of a different problem by being so concerned about this?
If that were true, we would never get another cold or a case of diarrhea by the time we were 10 years old. But in reality, you can get infected with a lot of the cold, flu, and viral agents as many times as you want because they keep evolving, for one thing. And a lot of the agents we don't develop good immune response to, so you can get infected over and over again with some viruses. It doesn't really help. Getting ill with one organism doesn't really protect you from another organism. And so there's really not a lot we can really say definitive about that. I always tell people, otherwise some of the developing countries would be healthier than the United States if that were really true. But unfortunately, if you get infected over and over again, too, you can also develop autoimmune diseases, mm-hmm. too. So that's another concern. So all we know for sure is you reduce the incidence of colds and flus and diarrhea if you practice good hygiene.
Okay. What would we especially watch out for in hospitals, and how can we steer clear of dangerous infectious agents?
Well, I think one of the things is, again, you know, anytime you're examined or somebody comes in the room, I would always ask them to practice good hygiene. You know, most physicians and hospital staff use alcohol gel sanitizers. You see them usually prominently placed in most medical care facilities today. So I always look to see if everybody does that, because that's how they can move germs from one patient to another. And so they always have to remember to do that. And I always check, make sure people do it. I think it's a good thing for you to practice, too, is good hand hygiene anytime you're in the hospital area, because particularly if you wander outside your room and you may be touching other objects other people have touched that might have been infected with something. So I think good hand hygiene is a really key in a healthcare facility.
It's difficult sometimes for us to feel empowered enough to ask somebody, well, would you please wash your hands before touching me? But that's important.
Yeah, people forget. We always want to really remember that how key that is, particularly in a healthcare environment, I think.
Well, so we're talking about cross-contamination, where one person can spread it to you if their hands aren't clean. Let's talk about germs on fabric. Let's say we spend a day visiting someone in the hospital. Can we assume that we now carry hospital bacteria such as MRSA or C. diff on our clothing?
Yeah, that's possible on the clothing to pick it up and move it around and to transfer it when you do laundry. What's interesting when you look at laundry, particularly if you're you work in a healthcare environment, you take your clothes home, you should really be careful how you do your laundry in any kind of healthcare setting if you're doing it at home. Because we've done studies on laundry and we found that normal laundry practices aren't as efficient as they used to be because only about 5% actually use hot water anymore. 95% of us are using cold water washes now. So basically, our clothes are more germy because of that than our grandparents were, because we found that's not very efficient for removing a lot of germs that could make you ill. I think it's pretty important, particularly if you have small children, because they have undergarments in that. The average undergarment, even of an adult, when you do the laundry, you do a washer load of undergarments, you can have 500,000 to several million E. coli bacteria in there. And because we don't use hot water wash, it gets transferred to your other clothing. It stays in the drum and moves around between the clothing. And if you're doing cold water wash, it doesn't get rid of it. If you want to do cold water washes, you should really dry for at least 45 minutes, we found, to make sure you kill those bacteria. I think it's really important if you have small children, because you're going to do their undergarments and they get on the other kids' undergarments. You're going to move all the germs around to the adults. And maybe using hot water washes as much as you can if you particularly have small children or if you work in a healthcare facility. That should be done. And you should use bleach on those types of garments if you can.
Or maybe save that underwear load for your last load. And then what about the thought of maybe just running an empty wash, no clothing, but just hot water and bleach? Does that make sense?
That's a good strategy. Exactly. You should give your washing machine a mouthwash once in a while, because the bacteria do persist in there. And that's a good idea. Do your underwear last, undergarments, and then do a bleach load with no clothes is a great idea.
You are going to change everybody's lifestyle here. What is your opinion on healthcare providers when you see them wearing scrubs out from the healthcare setting back into the community and then back into the facility? Is that something we should be concerned about?
In general, that probably should be discouraged, because you can pick things up on clothing, like I said. And I think they have to be careful if they come home. They need to wash those things properly, particularly with bleach, because there are some kinds of germs in the healthcare environment that are hard to kill. And so they should do that. I think really, people shouldn't wear those types of garments home. I don't think that's a good idea.
I agree with you. I'm surprised that that actually is permitted to happen just because of carrying the viruses out into the public or picking up the germs out in public and bringing it back into a hospital or a facility where you've got folks with compromised immune systems. I was interested also just to read something about bottoms of purses. Purses are everywhere, and then you put it on your kitchen counter.
That's what amazed me is when we studied purses with people, about a third of them have fecal bacteria on the bottom, on the outside, probably because they put them on the floors of restrooms. We actually did see people in homes take those same purses and put them up on their kitchen counter where they were going to make lunch for the family. So I don't think that's a good idea either.
So the goal is really just to be aware of the germs and bacteria that's out there and how you can transfer them from location to location.
Right. Yeah, basically, germs get to move around a lot more freer today than they did 100 years ago because we're in larger buildings, larger public facilities. We go to bigger stadiums, bigger schools. 100 years ago, when most of us were farmers, we would only go into town once a week, maybe into the grocery store or some other type of store. So we didn't meet as many people or surfaces that they commonly touch. Today, you touch more surfaces than more people have ever touched before previously. So germs can move a lot faster than you might think today than they did even 100 years ago.
That makes sense. We're much more mobile. What should we use? What would be the best thing for us to use in our day-to-day life to keep our surfaces and our hands and everything clean?
Well, the best strategy, I feel, is to take a hand sanitizer with you. They make very convenient little bottles these days. And two, disinfecting wipes, I think, are good. You know, when you're out in public, you can't really use the disinfecting wipes, but they're good in an office environment, work environment. If you share mobile computer equipment or phones, wipe those down because phones get really bad. Wow, because nobody ever cleans them from what we've seen in our studies. And those two strategies seem to work really well. In schools, we did studies where we found that if the desks of the children were wiped with a disinfectant wipe every day, absenteeism was reduced by about 50%. And if you use the alcohol gel sanitizers, your respiratory infections are reduced by as much as 30 to 50%. So these products do work. You can basically, by using the simple strategy of using disinfecting wipe on key surfaces and hand sanitizer, cut your risk of a lot of common illnesses in half.
So it's not about being a germaphobe, it's about being smart.
Right. Yeah, I think just practicing a little good hygiene, I think, is a good thing. And not to overdo it either. I'm not one for overdoing it, but I know certain key areas, the high-touch areas for disinfecting wipes and then hand sanitizers every time I go out in public, and that I think is all you really need.
Well, how can our listeners learn more about you and what you do?
Well, I think the best thing to go to is go to cdc.gov, their page, and they talk a lot about the use of hand sanitizers and disinfecting key surfaces. And I think that can give you some really good information on how you can protect yourself.
Lots of smart ideas. I appreciate that. And a big thank you to you, Dr. Chuck Gerba. You've made me, and I'm sure our listeners as well, aware of many of the little-known hiding places that harbor microbes found throughout our normal days. Thank you for being with us today.
Sure.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the host of Mrs. Green's World, and I would really love for you to become a part of that world. We talk about things like the faceless villain of climate change, our compromised food supply, and about how to become a conscious consumer. But it's not all bad news. We educate, we inspire, we engage. We always leave you with some small steps you can take to make a difference for this great planet of ours and help you live the healthy life you deserve. Please visit MrsGreensWorld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
I'm Jerry the Gerb with a Speak Up and Stay Alive healthcare and hospital safety snippet just for you. Here's our expert, Pat Rulo.
Hey, Jerry. Did you know people are talking dirty and don't even know it? That's right. According to Dr. Chuck Gerba, a famous microbiologist whom I spent the entire day with at his lab in Tucson, Arizona, he found cell phones carry 10 times the bacteria of most toilet seats. Ugh. So what can you do about this? Sanitize your phone daily with my newest cross-contamination solution called Dirty Talk. Simply spray a bit of Dirty Talk cell phone disinfectant onto a soft cloth and gently wipe down your cell phone, iPad, computer, mouse, and keyboard. Statistics show that cell phones harbor 25,000 germs per square inch. So stay safe from all of this dirty talk. Visit zapandzen.com. That's Z-A-P-N-Z-E-N ZEN.com, zapandzen.com, and get your Dirty Talk cell phone disinfectant. It's made with only safe ingredients such as organic tea tree, tangerine, and cinnamon essential oils. It smells yummy, and the bottle lasts a long time. That's zapandzen.com or call to order 440-725-5462. Makes for a fun stocking stuffer, too. That's 440-725-5462 or visit zapandzen.com. Well, there you have it. Lots of thought-provoking information from the famous Dr. Chuck Gerba. I know, after having spent an entire day at his lab, I look at cross-contamination potential in quite a different way. And I hope you do too. Dr. Gerba said today that hand sanitizers are useful and appropriate across all settings, healthcare or not, to keep bacteria at bay. He mentioned a few times that phones and desks, where most of us place our phones, were known to harbor germs. So, as usual, I don't like to share bad news without at least trying to offer a solution. And my trio of germ-fighting essential oil sprays are exactly that. Your solution to keeping you well without drugs. Visit zapandzen.com. That's ZAPNZEN.com. Zapandzen.com. And go to the radio specials. There's a link that says radio specials. That's where you'll find Dirty Talk, cell phone disinfectant, Happy Hands hand sanitizer. It's enhanced with essential oils to give you double the strength of typical store-bought hand sanitizers. And finally, Hospital Helper, a spray that every hospital, nursing home, a rehab patient needs to keep superbugs such as MRSA far away. And with the holidays in the near future, if that's a thing, you may want to get a head start with stocking stuffers or hostess gifts. I mean, who wouldn't want to get something called Dirty Talk? Visit zapandzen.com, ZAPNZEN, zapandzen.com, or call me 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462, and leave a message on the radio studio line. And now, it's time to say so long. Until next time, I hope your week is a happy and a healthy one. Free from cross-contamination. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.